encourage you to turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. It has been a long time in coming for me to say those words. As I have been prayerfully working and considering preaching this book. Most of you probably understand and realize the significance of Revelation. If not, I trust that throughout our study it will become profound to you. Revelation is probably not a stranger to many of you. Probably you could go home and turn on your TV and hear someone preaching from it on TV. Not recommending all of that, but it is a popular topic. And I often would ask that question of why. Why is it that Revelation is exciting and piques people's interest? Well, I do think the answer is somewhat obvious, right? Revelation means unveiling. And so there is a revealing that is taking place here that has not yet been made manifest. And so it's exciting to find out new things. All of us love that. I think about how we tell stories with one another, and all of us want to be the first one to tell the story of what happened. I know my kids battle over who can tell Daddy what just happened. In fact, I have an office down here. We live right here, and often there will be some sort of catastrophe that takes place, and I am needed at the house. And so one child goes out the front door, and one goes out the back door, and they are racing to tell me. And then they get mad because the other one beat them in telling me the story. What happened? Well, here we have a book called Revelations. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the first phrase of the book. And here what we have in this is God unveiling for us things that will shortly come to pass. Now, today's message is going to just be a brief introduction of the book. I'm not going to go into incredible detail for you, but I believe it was the Apostle John that wrote this book. I believe that he is writing towards the end of the first century, and history tells us this was a time period where Christians were not popular and suffered persecution under the emperors of Rome. In our text, it tells us where John is when he receives this revelation. And you look at your Bibles, you can look at verse 9, and you see it says, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." Well, just to help us, turn to your back of your Bibles. I don't know if iPads have maps in them, but if they do, good for them. But if you turn back to your map, and let's just take a look here to see where Patmos is. You see the Great Sea, the Mediterranean Sea. You see Crete. Just north of that, you have Asia. And Patmos probably is labeled very small, just off the western coast of Asia, close to Miletus or Ephesus. It is an island. It is a very small landmass, not very populated at all. And tradition tells us that this was a place that John was exiled to because he was a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, let's look at verse 1 of this chapter. Please follow along as I read the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. There are many things that are said in this first three verses that I believe really help to chart our course for this study. So often when we come to a reading of a certain book or books of the Bible, we have a perspective. Some of you may have a perspective that you bring to this book, the book of Revelation. In fact, probably all of us have some sort of perspective that we will bring to this based upon what we have been taught in the past and what we've heard. I believe this first verse helps give us what Jesus Christ wants us to have as our proper perspective. We see here that the revelation of Jesus Christ is which God gave unto him. And so right at the beginning, we understand a central focus is on Jesus Christ. God gave this unto his Son. And as we contemplate and think about this, Jesus Christ plays a very key role throughout this entire book. It is Jesus Christ whom God sent to be the Savior of the world. And it is Jesus Christ, it is through him that any of us have any hope at the end. God, through his Son, Jesus, has given us all a hope and a future. And it's only through his shed blood upon the cross and his resurrection. So this is to show, as the verse tells us, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. We have Jesus Christ revealing here things unto his servants. He's showing here, this is a revealing to his servants. Those servants, who are they? That was a question that I had, and it's interesting to see that John is called a servant in this very same verse. It is interesting in Revelation 2:20 that the people of the church are called Jesus' servants. It is interesting throughout the Bible, and we're not going to go through every time you see that word servant, but this is a revelation to those who are God's servants, and I believe to the church, to you and to me. God wants to show us these things. There is should be a certain measure of excitement with that statement. In the fact that the Almighty God knows the future, and he wants to show us these things. I trust that would prod you to say, well, what is he going to show me? What is it that he is showing his servants? And to get the answer to that, what do you have to do? You have to read it. You need to read it. and to show unto his servants things which, and I want to stop there, things which. This is talking about events. This is talking about what is going to happen. I want you to notice that this is plural. So this is there's multiple things that are included in this revelation. I want you to also notice that in this, he is showing things. There is not necessarily an intent or purpose of showing when these things are coming to pass. What we do know is they are shortly to come to pass, that they are coming quickly. We sometimes can be distracted and longing to find the answers to when, that we miss the significance of what. And it is sad, because there has been division in the church at times over the when. When we really should be solid and united on the what. There's a little word in this verse, M-U-S-T. It says must. That's significant. There is no altering the future as it is declared by God. The very fact that this little statement show things which must surely, shortly come to pass, that's a very powerful statement in the fact that as you, as a reader, looking through this, understand that there is no question about whether this is going to happen. It will. As I was studying for this, I listened to one preacher, and he emphasized how often he would use the book of Revelation to preach evangelistic messages. And I was curious, because I haven't done that. And I don't often hear that. But listen, if we preach this message as something that not might be, but will be, happening, the things that are said in here, especially about those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, are powerful upon the conscience and on the soul. And so we understand that they must shortly come to pass. Now, let's put ourselves back in the time of the first century. This was written to the churches of Asia. Seven churches, we're going to talk more about them. So very likely, this revelation given to John, it was written down. And this letter was sent to these churches. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there when the messenger arrived with the scroll? Message from John! Message from John! Quickly, gather, everyone, gather. And everybody, in a hushed silence, they listen as their elder unwraps the scroll. And he begins to read the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he gets to this first part, and it must shortly come to pass. And this first century audience, in their minds, they are dealing with Romans and the persecution. And they have been dealing with that. They're young in their faith, possibly second generation, but probably mostly first generation Christians. Many of their churches had issues and problems and were struggling. They were unhealthy in many ways. Some of these believers very possibly were just, let's get out of this place. Freedom. But the interesting thing is, as you read through this book, is that best that I can tell, most of these things have not yet happened. Is God playing games with us? Is God playing games with that early church? I mean, we know throughout the New Testament, we're reminded of His soon coming. And we wait. And we wait. And we sing songs about it. And we get excited about His coming. But we wait. Is God playing games with us? No, He's not. Let's look at it this way. God's being merciful to your friend who doesn't know Jesus. And He was merciful for you and me. Look at it this way. The very fact that this says shortly comes to pass gives us, the church, an anticipation and an excitement for Jesus. And what that does, whether He comes in our generation or not, it gives us energy for tomorrow. And it gives us purpose and an excitement. Because it could be today. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants things which must surely come to pass. And He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John, who bear record. Who's the who there? I believe that's John. Who bear record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. As we read through this and study this, you will come to grips with the fact that there's visions here. These are things John is seeing. We will understand that because of his descriptions. And it is interesting as you look through and read this book and you come across descriptions of beasts and of a city and of other things that you have a hard time wrapping your mind around. And this is exciting because what we see is we see an effort of putting into human terms what is of God. And as we will enjoy God's inspiration here and God communicating to us what He wants us to know, my prayer is that your heart would be ever more looking for Jesus. We read in verse 3 about a blessing. And part of my message today and application is going to be encouraging you to read this book. Yes, the whole thing. It's about 2 hours. About 2 hours. If you read faster, you can do it faster. About 2 hours. And part of my encouragement, why to read, is because this is a revelation from God, and because there's blessing. I'm not saying that, and that's what God says here. Because He says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. You have to know something. I was severely tempted to not touch this book. Because I know I'm going to get myself in trouble. And you know, there's things that I do not understand. Are you okay with your pastor not understanding everything? Please say yes. But you know, I didn't want to touch it. You know, all these other people have spoken on it. Listen. There is blessing in reading it and hearing it. And if you're going to hear it, what does that mean? It needs to be proclaimed. So, here I am. I'm part of your blessing. Oh, let's not get a big head, Josh. Well, blessed is he that readeth. That's for us. Reading. And they that hear the words of this prophecy. And, now here's the stickler. And keep. That means to guard or to observe, to hold tightly to. And so here we have this blessing to those who read and to those who hear and keep. What does that mean? It means that you have a responsibility. It means that we, as we embark through this and read this and I preach this, is that I've got a responsibility with what I read and what I hear. And folks, listen, this is something that really should be true across the board for every book of the Bible. Really, there is great blessing in reading the Scriptures, in hearing it. But you experience that blessing because you obey it. You obey. Now, something else that this tells us about the book of Revelation, that there will be instruction, that there will be exhortation, that there will be commands laid out for you and for me to obey. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. For the time, it's right here. I want you to turn back to Revelation 22. I want to give you a little bit of push in your reading. In Revelation chapter 22, this is the last section of this revelation. So we saw the purpose in verse 1 is that to show his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. Well, look at chapter 22 and verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. There it is again. At the beginning and at the end. So why did we have the book of Revelation? How can we answer that question? It's because God wants to reveal unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And if God is choosing to reveal those things to us, then they are important for us to know. You look at verse 16 of chapter 22. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. There's your purpose. What about that blessing? We saw it in chapter 1. Look at verse 7. Chapter 22, verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that, what? Keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now at the beginning it says, blessed is he that reads and hears and keeps. And at the end it says, blessed is he that keeps. Why? Because you've already read it. You've already heard it. Now, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to keep it? Are you going to obey it? So what I want to give you is a couple questions to ask as you're reading. A couple questions to ask as you're reading the book of Revelation. First of all, where is Jesus? Pastor, that's a really simple question. Yeah, you know, it is. But man, so often we can get lost in the whens and what's happening that we're missing Jesus. It's amazing when you see Jesus in the Revelation. What is he doing? How is he described? What is he wearing? What is he saying? Where is Jesus? Secondly, what instructions or exhortations is God giving me? Don't just let this be an academic exercise of checking it off and saying, Pastor, I read it. No, what is Jesus telling me here? What instructions or exhortations am I being confronted with? You saw it. You got to keep it. What am I supposed to keep, Lord? It's a good question to ask. Thirdly, what is God revealing to me about himself? Spoiler alert. You're going to get to see in the throne room of God. What is God called? How does he choose to reveal himself? And I say it that way because God is ultimately the author of Scripture. Through the inspiration of the Spirit, he gives the word through John. And so how does God choose to reveal himself in all his glory and majesty? How? Well, that's a fun thing to think about. Be a detective and look for those things. Look for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Where do you find them? Where do you see the Father? Where do you see the Son? Where do you see the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the Godhead? That's interesting. What am I doing? I'm encouraging you to be a blessed believer and to read as a student of the Word. Because you take this seriously. The first instruction, read and keep. So the purpose is Jesus revealing to his servants those things that must shortly come to pass. And then there's the blessing. Read and hear. But keep. Thank you, God, for this
the Word of God, and it is exciting. And thank you for your grace. And your mercy. So God, my words have already left my mouth. But Lord, may your word be what is remembered. And I know it will continue to ring in our hearts as we go from this place. Energize your church for the week ahead. Help us to walk in victory. In Jesus' name, amen.